Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. True and Terrifying Stories, Volume 6, Story 1. This happened to me about 35 years ago. I was a town kid. Didn't have a gun in the house. No one hunted. By the time I was 10 or so, no one even gardened anymore either. Pure greenhorn in the woods. I was dating a boy who was born with a gun in his hands, and he decided I should go deer hunting. He prepared me over several weeks. This was before hunter safety courses, and he took me out to learn about shooting safety, etc. When opening day rolled around, I was prepared. Left his house well before sunup, as he and his brother were going to park me at a spot they thought would be a good one while they went on to their deer stands. Their house was near the hunting spot, so we walked about 2 miles, and they took me over a little knoll and sat me down in a small thicket of oak and scrub, but no way thick. It was pitch black in there, with just the stars above me. I was on a bluff above Truman Lake, and I sat with my back to a small oak and listened to the water lapping far below me. I was just listening to the night sounds and waiting for some sign of daylight, which was some ways off yet, when I felt rather than heard something at about my 10 o'clock. The same feeling that many describe as being watched. And yes, the hair was standing on end. I turned my flashlight on the spot, and holy hell, about 25 or 30 feet away from me, something. It still makes me sick at my stomach just thinking about it. I almost threw up right there, but I managed to grab my gun at 30-30 and get up and run like hell. It wasn't Bigfoot. I don't know. Some kind of huge, monstrous something with eyes just looking at me. Didn't run after me. As I said, I wasn't in thick brush. This area had been logged off in the not-too-distant past, and the trees weren't all that big. When I got up on the gravel road, it was just barely beginning to turn light in the eastern sky, and I ran like a scared rabbit all the way back to my boyfriend's house. Later in the morning, I convinced myself that it was all in my head, and daylight was making me a lot more brave, and I went right back to my spot, in the exact spot that the thing, whatever it was, had been standing, was a nice little clearing. I sat down, opened my thermos that I'd left when I hightailed it out of there, and had some tea, and then was quiet, just as my boyfriend had taught me, and had a beautiful little doe walk right up to my shoulder. But that was the end of my hunting. I did marry the boy, who fancied himself a mountain man, and we moved to Montana, and I taught myself to garden, can, cook on a wood stove, chop the wood that went in it, and cook every variety of animal you can imagine. But I was never the one to go in the dark to get it. Story number 2. One time, me and two of my friends were camping out on a hill called Karhuvori, which means, well, Bear Mountain, but I doubt it has anything to do with bears. Sits on pretty small island. Anyway, we were there just to spend one night in a tent and have some fun. We climbed up and set up the tent about 100 to 200 meters away from the bird viewing tower on the top. We made some food and talked about stuff, and finally we went to sleep. It was absolutely pitch dark outside as we crawled into our sleeping bags. After we had been lying silent for a while, we heard a beep and another, similar as you get from walkie-talkies. We all sat up and I listened. We kept hearing it. Beep, beep. And I asked my friend to check out his walkie-talkies in case he'd accidentally somehow turned it on. But as he took a look at them, there were no batteries in it. There was absolutely no device which we had where the beeping noise could have come from. So we all sat up in the tent in the middle of the dark forest and listened carefully. The beeping noise continued, but we could hear it moving. It went further first, and then it came closer. It circled once around the tent, and then it went further and further until it disappeared. We went out with flashlights while squeezing our knives and didn't see anything anywhere. No footprints, nothing. To this day, we have no idea what it was, but I was thinking it might have been a dog with a tracking collar, but I'm not sure if they make that kind of noise or not. Overall, it was creepy, and I know no one could have found us in the forest without using a flashlight or making some other type of noise. Next story. My parents had the insight, even though they had money, to buy a modest house on the edge of a national forest preserve. I spent my youth hiking, running, biking, and backpacking through that area at all times of the year and at all times during the day. I've often joked that the mountain lions that live in those hills have probably drooled over me more than once. I'm a scientist at heart. I got my bachelor's in biology, and from this I know that we know little of the natural world, and I am keen to believe that there are animals out there that we do not know of. I've never told this story before. I'm a Navy guy, and I've seen people die in front of me and under my care. I'm incredibly calm under pressure, but the story that follows is the only thing that ever broke my calm resolve and almost had me crying from fear, primal fear. I was visiting my parents' house on leave from the Navy. My room was occupied by my niece, so I took the living room. The living room faces the woods and mountains of the nature preserve. The entire wall is almost ceiling to floor windows, which allows for beautiful view and a lot of light during the day. I loved them until this night. I went to sleep on a couch right against the windows and quickly fell asleep facing away from them. The first half of the night was sleepless until I was jerked awake suddenly by paralyzing fear. Not sleep paralysis. I could move. I was aware and rational, but my heart was beating hard and fast. My veins felt like they were about to burst, but more than anything, I felt like I was in the most terrifying presence of something that I've ever felt. I could almost feel it was looking at me from the darkness beyond the windows. And given all my strength, I could not roll over to peer back. I would not. I felt to do so would be my end. I honestly feel foolish talking about this. I've dealt with more than my fair share of life and death experiences. I've had guns to my head. I've been in violent riots in foreign countries, but this was different and it felt primal. I don't know how long I laid on the couch trembling with utter fear, but morning eventually came and with the rising sun, the presence left. I've never felt it since and I never wish to again. Words fail me, but to describe the fear, the utter fear that my life was about to end, was the strangest thing of my life. Perhaps it was a lucid dream, but I was on no substances or prescriptions. All I know is I've never felt anything like that before or since. Next story. When I was younger, my younger brother and I used to share a bed. The bed faced the big curtain-covered windows, which were usually impossible to see through at night. One night, we stayed up a bit late on the laptop and whatnot, and decided to get to sleep considering it was around 11 or 12 a.m. I think an hour or so later, I woke to find my brother weeping and crying out for our mom. "What's wrong?" I asked him. "I'm scared." He groaned again and went back to weeping. My brother tends to get scared at everything, from that little doll Chucky to the television show 1,000 Ways to Die. Knowing I would get a lame answer, I said, "Why are you crying for mom? It's 1 a.m. Go back to sleep." He continued weeping until he said, "I heard scratching." I thought he was just being dumb. Probably thought it was just our cat. "What? Just ignore it and go to bed," I told him, mumbling to myself, and I closed my eyes again. Suddenly, I heard the most startling thing I've ever heard in my lifetime. Hell, I wanted to cry for mommy too. It was scratching. I didn't actually think my brother was right, but as soon as I heard it, we both scrambled under the covers and shielded our ears. I kept considering it to be our cat, but I remembered letting him out a couple of hours before. Our windows were lifted pretty far off the ground for rodents to come and scratch at it, and it didn't even sound like it was the window that was being scratched. There was this deep sound to it, like something was scratching and grabbing at something. I even tried comparing sounds the day afterward. I scratched at the window, and it was definitely not the same sound. I still don't know what it was. Back to that night. As soon as we heard it, I started yelling for my mom to come. I was shaking and was mentally disturbed. She finally rushed in and asked what the hell happened. We told her, and she went to the window and checked. Nothing was there. Days after, I couldn't even sleep without thinking about the scratching sound coming back. It never did. But that was an experience I will always remember. next story. I used to go to my dad's office every Friday night, and this incident took place on one of those nights. The office was located in a very quiet area, and the street was dark with all the stores closed already for the night. I was standing outside the office door about to leave with my dad, but he forgot something and went back in to get it. As I was waiting for him outside, a man out of nowhere walked up to me. And that's when my senses went nuts in my mind. Somehow, I felt an immediate danger, and I needed to get away from him. But nothing was wrong with his appearance, just a normal-looking guy. I didn't know what to do, nor why I felt that way. I could either overreact and tell him not to come any closer, or just run back in the office. What I did was I opened the office door halfway and went back inside, but still peeked outside. If anything happened, I could always shut the door quickly. After all of that, the guy finally got within talking distance to me and asked, "Is there church tomorrow?" And I politely answered, "No." Then I shut the door. Now, think about it. It was Friday. The next day was Saturday. Why would a person even ask if there's church on a Saturday? Besides, that office wasn't a church at all. It was a church-related office, but it was more of a business office and wasn't used for church gatherings. So that kind of like walking up to any other business office and asking about church. Even if there would be an explanation for this question, I still couldn't forget that feeling of I need to get away and avoid contact at all costs when he approached me. I don't really know if there's a meaning from this experience because nothing happened, but maybe that's because I had made the right decision and dodged a bullet by following my senses and got away safely. I haven't experienced anything like this ever since. But what I did learn was to follow my senses and my feeling no matter what. Next story. Water plant operators have the unfortunate task of working all hours of the day. I was a new operator just recently certified and was working the graveyard shift from 11 p.m. to 8 a.m. The plant I was working at was built in the 20s, and there were several people killed during the construction. It was always said that the plant and the grounds were haunted. Being someone that was used to being out in the woods alone and camping, I paid very little attention to the ramblings of some old guys that had worked at this plant for 30 years. It should be noted that during the construction of the new lake that fed the plant, they had to move a Civil War monument, but it was decided that the graves should not be moved. They placed the war monument in a graveyard where the latest date on the headstones was 1774. This family graveyard was on city property. I give you that background to set up the two stories I have to tell of incidents that happened to me over my 10 years working at this water plant. One rainy, cold fall night. Don't they all start that way? I was needing to run some tests since the water coming into the plant was getting muddy. I walked into the lab and started getting all my tests set up to run. Once I had all my stuff together, I was over to the wet sink where I would take my samples. I filled the flask up with water and walked to the other side of the lab to run the tests. I picked up a beaker and filled it with water and ran my first test. After dumping the test water down the drain, I reached for the flask only to find that it was not where I had set it. I could see a trail of water on the counter like someone had taken the flask and slid it across the counter. I walked back over to the wet sink and there was the flask sitting right where it normally sat, full of water. I was wide awake for the rest of the night, afraid to not have my back against the wall. The second incident was a foggy morning, just as the sun was coming up over the lake. I was out on the basins drinking a cup of coffee, just looking at the lake. I heard what sounded like a yell. The only thing I could compare it to is a rebel yell. I looked over at the family graveyard and saw a shadowy figure in gray standing at the graveyard. I blinked to clear my vision, and the figure was gone. Come to find out, I was not the only one to see this figure on a foggy morning. Several say that he's been seen there on and off for as long as the plant has been there. Next story. Not long after I moved to this property that I live on, I was lying on the couch one afternoon. I was watching the news and had the TV turned down kind of low. I wasn't sleeping, not dozing. And then I heard a woman's voice right next to my ear say my name softly. It wasn't my mother's voice nor anyone else's I recognized. Occasionally, I would smell a perfume. It would literally waft right in front of me like a little breeze of fragrance. Would last maybe a minute or two at most and then be gone. I was never able to pinpoint the exact fragrance, but it was one I had smelled before, maybe something like Air du Temps. Not a modern fragrance. It was one I had smelled many times before on many different women. For a while, I thought I was having a stroke or some odd neurological symptom, but it obviously wasn't that. The fragrance eventually stopped happening, and I never heard the voice again. Then I had another experience. I went to the Valley Forge site many years ago. It was early October. I was going to my car to leave, and I noticed a man walking behind me, maybe 50 feet back. He was wearing a black suit coat, vest, and pants, white shirt, dark tie, and this seemed odd to me, a black bowler hat. Had a dark, probably black mustache. He was carrying what looked like a thin briefcase. I walked another 15 or 20 feet and reached my car, and as I unlocked the door and was getting in, I noticed the man was gone. The strange thing is that from where I was standing, there was nowhere he could have disappeared to. No trees nearby that could have hidden him. No outbuilding or restroom. No trash receptacle or other vehicle that he could possibly have gotten into in the time that it took me to walk that short distance, even if he had broken into a run. There was just no place for him to get to in order to hide. He was just gone. Next story. This didn't happen to me, it happened to my wife. Every day, either one of us or both of us takes the dog for a long walk along a long track that leads into a big expanse of moorland in Yorkshire. Recently, my wife went alone as I was working. She walked about 3.5 miles along the track to the end, where we turn around and walk back. About 100 yards or so from the end of the track is a ford, where the track crosses a muddy stream. There are stone flags at both sides of the ford to make it easier for the gamekeeper's vehicles to cross. The flags can get quite slippery, so she looked down to find her way, and she saw wet, muddy tracks on them, which were heading back up the track, the way she'd just come from. She didn't have a camera on her, but when she described the tracks to me, my blood went cold. They were about the size of a medium human hand in the shape of a dog's paw, but without any claws marks. I've seen enough of them in the United States to know that it sounds like a puma or mountain lion was probably stalking her. But this is England, she said, and I reminded her about the times that I've seen things in England, but she didn't believe me. When I go out in the wilds, I'm always armed with at least a hunting knife. But she had nothing except for a small, scruffy dog. She agreed to carry a pointy stick up there when she's alone. We used to go in any weather, even in the dark, but I think we'll walk somewhere else when the dark nights arrive. Our government over here deny that there's a problem with wild animals that shouldn't be here. But having worked in the countryside for a number of years, I disagree. I've seen what I believe to be adult big cats from a distance and a young one closer up. It's only a matter of time before somebody's killed by one, but it won't be any of us. At least I hope so. Next story. This happened back in 2012. I ended up camping in Epping Forest. I found a sweet spot next to a small clearing and someone had built a lean-to out of the branches lying around. After setting up a small fire and collecting a fair amount of wood, I lay back in my bivvy listening to my wind-up radio. Usually I drift off listening to radio or some talk station, but I wasn't able to do that night. About midnight, my radio went off through lack of power, and I heard this crunch crunch of what sounded like someone walking to my camp. I couldn't see anything, it was pitch black, so I got out of my bivvy with the footsteps coming closer, and I switched on my headlamp. The noise stopped, and I still couldn't see anything unusual. I scanned the area for a bit, then got a thickish branch from the woodpile, and my Phoenix LD22 from my pack and switched the headlamp off. Crunch crunch. The footsteps headed towards me, again, at a faster pace. Flashlight goes on, then I switch to the strobe. Now, whatever that was that hightailed it in the opposite direction, crashed through some bushes in the process. Now, I still haven't seen what it is, and I'm thinking it wasn't a deer, maybe a wild boar, or someone with night vision on, and I decided to keep the fire on and make it a bit bigger. So I ran around my camp picking up more firewood, and then I see another lean-to on the tree right next to the tree I've set up my tarp on, and that really creeped me out. I'm sure that was not there before, but it's dark when I set up the camp, and I could have missed it, but it was so close The first one I saw was further away. I didn't touch the wood of the lean-to and had a mostly sleepless night. In the morning, I found a trampled grass trail that ended within 20 feet of my camp. Ground was dry, so if it was a boar, it left no prints, but I still reconned and found it was human by the sound, but can't work out why I didn't see anything in the strobe at that range. Needless to say, I never went back to camp at Epping Forest. Next story. When I was 5, my parents divorced and I lived with my mom for a while. Turned out she wasn't that good at being a parent or staying sober, so eventually I ended up living at my dad's. I hadn't spoken to him for a few years, and it turned out that he moved from Missouri to Kansas for work. Anyway, after the drive from Illinois to Kansas, we arrived at my dad's house. I was immediately in love with the house. It was situated on a grass airfield about a quarter of a mile back from a main road. Being an airfield, there was little hangars everywhere, but between the house and the hangars was a small tree line. The house itself was this two-story old farmhouse with a pretty dense wooded area on the south and west sides of the house, with the hangars to the north and the airstrip to the west. Basically, your pretty typical old Kansas wheat field farmstead. My dad was pretty awesome and let me have the whole second-story attic to myself. After living in dank basements for a few years, it was like living in paradise. I had all the privacy I wanted and the biggest room in the house. The attic was all painted hardwood floors, had a chimney post through the middle of it, and two closets. Two. For a girl, I was pretty much in heaven. I set to decorating it with white Christmas lights and chalk drawings. Yes, I used chalk on my walls and got away with it. I was pretty spoiled. Fall and winter passed with not so much going on. I was pretty happy and getting adjusted to school and whatnot. My dad worked second shift, and after he had a falling out with my babysitter's husband, he decided I could be on my own at night. I was stoked. I felt so grown up. Anyway, I was at home one night, munching down on some cereal and watching TV, when I heard footsteps upstairs. At first, I didn't think anything of it, as there were a couple of times I heard squirrels running through the rafters. I figured there must be some kind of animal hanging out upstairs. Curious, I put down my cereal and thought, hey, maybe I'll catch a raccoon. So I tromped upstairs, and when I got to where my head is level with the floor, I got the willies, big time. I could hear my heart thumping in my chest, and I got super sweaty. I looked around and didn't see anything, but I could hear the footsteps, loud. I got the courage up and said, cut it out. I'm not kidding here. And they stopped. The next day at school, I told my friend Kelsey what happened, and she was like, oh crap, Arcadia, your house is haunted. Can I come over? I was super excited. That Saturday, my dad and I went and got all the soda and snacks two little girls could ever hope for. I hadn't told my dad what we were doing. It was really a paranormal investigation, but he didn't need to know that anyway. So, Kelsey comes over and we're playing and talking about boys upstairs. Suddenly, she and I got real quiet, and we both looked up at the same time towards the closet. There wasn't anything there, but we were like, oh yeah, ghost time. So we start digging into the closet with a flashlight, and at the back of it, we find a little painted over door. Jackpot. I ran downstairs. Dad, Dad, come see this. We found a door. So my dad comes up, and we show him the door. And he gets a putty knife, and we start trying to open this thing. Got it open, and there's nothing back there. Just beams, spider webs, and dust. But I got the creepiest feeling that something back there was watching us. I dared Kelsey to go in and she punched me. No friggin' way, crazy lady. So that night, we're in bed, spooking each other and eventually fall asleep. No big deal. A couple of weeks go by with no incident, and Kelsey calls me one night and says, all right, I got a Ouija board from my sister, and she said it works by calling up dead people, and you can talk to them through it. I'm like, all right, awesome, I'm game. So that weekend she comes over. I decided that it has to be dark, so we light some candles, flipped on the Christmas lights, and made a little circle around us. We started playing with this board. At first, we're both giggling and pushing it around. You're pushing it. No, you are. You know the drill. All of a sudden, I realized, no, I'm not pushing it. So I asked, Spirit, what's your name? It's like the board comes alive, and the pointer is going crazy. W-I-L-L. I say, your name is Will? The pointer flies over to yes. At that second, all the candles blew out. Kelsey screamed her head off, and all the Christmas lights came crashing down. I started screaming myself and we ran downstairs. We were both yelling at my dad. There's a ghost up there and his name is Will. Dad, for real, there's a ghost. Heard footsteps. My dad calmed us down and we decided to sleep downstairs. In the middle of the night, I woke up alert. All the hairs on the back of my neck were standing straight up and I heard footsteps. They went back and forth across the floor. This time, I knew it was not an animal. And I got so freaked out, but I lay there paralyzed, thinking that any second, they're going to come down the stairs. They didn't, and eventually I fell asleep. So after that, I came to terms with the fact that the house is haunted. I pretty much made camp on the couch downstairs, and Ema moved one of my dressers downstairs, so I didn't have to go up there. One night, I was sitting on the computer doing homework, and I got the freakiest feeling that I'm being watched. And this wall of deja vu hits me. I'm like, okay, I've had this happen before. Something bad is going to happen. So I sat there, frozen on the computer, but nothing happened for a few minutes. And I relaxed and went back to doing my homework. Then I heard it, the footsteps. I closed my eyes real tight and started counting back from 100 out loud. 89, 88, 87. Bang, bang, bang on the ceiling. I about jumped out of my skin. The door to the stairs opened. I heard it, but I didn't dare open my eyes. 86, I yelled. 85, 84. By the time I got to the 50s, the house was silent. I spent the rest of the night wrapped up in a blanket on the couch until my dad got home. I told him what happened, and he just shrugged it off. Nothing happened for the rest of the summer. Everything was light and breezy outside. I played a lot during the day. Kelsey came over and we investigated the milk barn and found all manner of creepy decayed things. We got really interested in fairies that year and started taking pictures of each other dressed up with Halloween wings on. One night, I got the courage to go to sleep in my bed. I'm a big girl and nothing has happened for a while, so surely it'll be okay. I went up there and I thought, yeah, this room is awesome. I don't know why I let anything freak me out. So cool up here, even if it is haunted. Oh well. That night, after reading for a while, I fell asleep. I was having a pretty good dream when all of a sudden, right in the middle of it, started feeling like I'm choking. And I know in the dream that it's not part of the dream, that it's real. So I force my eyes open and every inch of my body is paralyzed except my eyes. I look and at the side of my bed, there's a black figure standing. I know it's a man. I know it's real. And I know it's wearing a hat and staring at me. About that time, I started to feel scream come up. It blows away. It's as if a strong wind had come up and this figure were nothing but smoke and it's blown away. About this time I realized I can move. I grabbed my blankets and a pillow and stumbled and ran downstairs. Needless to say, from that time that it happened until I moved out when I was 18, I never really ever slept up there again unless I was grounded to my room. That was the worst possible punishment my dad could give because he knew it freaked me out to be up there. Every so often I would hear the footsteps, but I never again saw Will. Next story. I grew up in Middle Tennessee, about 1 mile from the Tennessee-Kentucky state line. There is actually a road there named State Line Road, which is where this took place. Now keep in mind, I grew up in the country. Nearest neighbor was about 5 miles away and town was about 20 miles. And not much spooked me. There was an old house on that road we called the Old Stovall Place. The story was that an old man named Stovall killed his wife and daughter and then killed himself in that house. I knew the man who owned it and had been in and around it many times while working for him in his tobacco fields as a teenager and always had a very uneasy feeling while there. There was a bridge out there that we used to go to and party at because there were no houses anywhere around. Me and three of my friends, along with our girlfriends, were going to party at the bridge one Saturday night, but I told my buddies we should stop by the Stovall Place to get the girls creeped out a little and then go to the bridge. We arrived at the house after dark. All the party supplies were still untouched, by the way, and went in the side door, which entered through the kitchen. There were two rooms in the back of the house, the kitchen, the dining room, and two rooms in the front, with a hallway and a stairway splitting the front two rooms. Once we got in, I had that feeling, you know, the one telling you to get out, but I ignored it. We investigated the back two rooms, and the girls were getting freaked out a little, which was our goal. We then entered the one of the front rooms from the kitchen. Looking through the hallway into the other room, I told everyone that this is where they found the old man Stovall dead. At least, that's what the current landowner told me. I looked at my best friend and said, let's go check it out. The girls were getting really freaked out as my buddy and I headed towards the room. As we entered the hallway, the wind picked up like crazy outside, like someone had turned on a switch, and we both felt an ice-cold blast that seemed to come from everywhere at once. It was a dead calm, crystal clear night before this. We left the hall and went back to the room with our friends, and the wind immediately quit, like a switch just turned it off. We all looked at each other with what the heck just happened look, and then I got a totally different feeling. It was a feeling of sadness, anger, but mostly evil. That is the only way I know to describe it. We went into the hallway again, and again the wind picked up and it quit as soon as we left the hallway. This time, we all agreed that we had to leave. That evil feeling was almost overwhelming now. We didn't waste any time getting to the cars, but when my girlfriend and I got in the front seat, she screamed, "What the hell is that in the door?" I looked at the doorway we had just exited through, and I saw a dark shadow in the form of a man with glowing red eyes, and it seemed to just stare at us. We peeled out of there and made it to the bridge in record time. The group in the other car got out of the bridge and yelled, "What the heck was that in the doorway? Did you all see it?" I'm sure that was some form of old man Stovall staring at us. It took a while to shake off that evil feeling completely. I never went back to that house. And when I told the owner what happened, he confirmed that he had the same feeling around the house. He tore it down about 6 months later. Good riddance. I still get goosebumps whenever I tell this about this experience. It was 1987. I was 17, but I still remember it like it was yesterday.